Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, I know, I feel a bit like that as well. We had an eventful night last night. I was sharing a bed with Thea in all hours of the morning, which isn't the best fun, but she's better today, which is great to see. Hope everyone adjusted well with that hot spout we had and then freezing cold the next day and the classic Adelaide weather that I just still bewilders me, but that's right. But it is the time of year as well that if you've got kids, young kids, you'll know that getting towards the end of the year, the new school year is about to start in not too many weeks' time. And so you would know we've got three kids and Raina is actually due to start school the next year. And so this week, Shamila and I, we had her orientation week. And I was actually amazed when we're at the orientation week during the parents' session, they were sharing some statistics with us in regards to reading. And they mentioned that if you read to your child for just 5 minutes a day, you can boost their success at school by up to 80%. And not only boost their success, but expand their vocabulary by thousands, up to even millions of words by the time they reach grade one. How incredible is that? 5 minutes a day, some small effort that leads to significant results. In the same vein, consider a plane flying in a straight line from Los Angeles to Rome. A 1 degree shift in that plane's course and it would end up landing in Africa, nearly 1,000 kilometres off target. These examples remind us, and even the example that Colin used of a small seed turning into a large apple tree, remind us that things like 1 degree or 5 minutes, even though they're small, can have substantial impacts as they unfold. Why is that important for us to know? Because each one of us carries something small in our lives. Something that has the potential, though, even though it's small, to make significant impact. And if you followed along with the reading at all, you probably guessed that it's our tongue. Geraldine was following along. That's great. But it is. It is our tongue. Now, guys, I have learned a number of things over the years about the tongue, and I've made mistakes with my tongue. And I hope by sharing this to you today, and even maybe some women, though it's probably not as common in that area, that you might not have to go through making this one. Never assume or congratulate a woman on her pregnancy if you don't have a confirmation. Because I know from experience, you cannot put those words back in your mouth. And so after that situation, as I was standing there, wishing God would just rapture me now, the only other thought that came into my mind was, why wasn't I just slower to speak and quicker to listen? Perhaps you have found yourself in a similar scenario where you just wished, why wasn't I slower to speak and quicker to listen? Maybe you've returned home after a demanding day at work and the kids are brimming with excitement to see you, and in their excitement they accidentally spill a cup of juice all over you. And in that moment you burst into frustration, pointing out all the faults and all the things they've done wrong, when what should have been a warm, welcoming homecoming is now been turned into an unexpected shower and a changed impact. Or maybe consider a family dinner. You've prepared a meal with so much love and you're sitting down at the table and the family starts to share their thoughts and the feedback isn't as glowing as you thought it might be. It's all right, says one. Not my favourite, says another. Or could have used some flavour, remarks a third. So frustrated, you storm off, declaring, if that's the response, don't expect me to ever cook for the family again. And lists like this examples could go on and on with family, with children, with friends, with colleagues. We can all think of a time where we thought to ourselves, if only I was slower to speak and quicker to listen, things might have turned out very different. And today we're going to see in James chapter 3, verses 2 to 12, that if we had taken these words, words that were read for us and words that we've probably seen many times posted on social media or even in our daily devotions, and if we had only just applied these words the first time we read them to our life, we might have avoided these moments where something little that we did grew into something big. And James begins, though, thankfully for us, with a bit of a reality check. In verse 2, he says, indeed, we all make mistakes. Actually, he doesn't say we all make mistakes. He says, we all make many mistakes. And James is a very practical person, and even at the start of his letter, he's a very humble person as well. And here he is, just humbly reminding his readers that we are all equal. No one here is above making mistakes in their life. We are all equal and we're all seen equally sinful and short of the glory of God together. But that's not the end, as James then continues to lay the reason out for this reality. In the rest of verse 2, and he says, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Could this really be true? If we were to learn to control just our tongues, could we be perfect? Well, no, and yes. See, in James's letters, when he refers to the concept of perfect, he's not talking about the perfection that we would see in a person like Jesus Christ, but rather he's talking about perfection as being a perfect, mature Christian in their faith. But what does that perfect, mature Christian look like? Well, James said that it is having control over our entire body, which sadly can only be accomplished by controlling our tongues. And he's going to give us a number of illustrations as we work through the rest of his verses today to show us why controlling the tongue leads to spiritual Christian maturity. And he begins, first of all, with the tongue has the power to direct. In verses 3 and 4, he says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want it by the means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses it to go, even though the winds are strong. Anyone here ridden a horse at all? A few people, yeah. Anyone put their children on a horse as well? Yeah, a few people. And it just always amazes me, especially a little child riding a massive horse just because of the power of the bit in the horse's mouth. An object that's not much longer or larger than a pencil has the ability to control the direction of this mighty animal even in the hands of a little child. And the rudder, likewise, something that is so insignificant in the size of the entire ship, yet it is able to steer it wherever the pilot pleases. And we've got to understand, for us today, horses and ships aren't the biggest things that we know about. But in James's time, the original readers, these were the biggest objects that could be created, the biggest moving structures, in particular ships, holding at the time around 200 people, which was incredible, yet still directed by a small rudder. But even 2,000 years later, the biggest cruise liner in the world, the Wonder of the Seas, holding 9,288 people, still uses a small rudder to guide its direction. And this is important, James says, because in the same way, our tongue is the small thing that makes grand speeches. Just like the bit in a horse's mouth, the tongue, though small in proportion to the rest of our body, can be used to bring our entire body somewhere where we want to go, in the direction we wish, but it also has the power to take us in directions that we don't want to go or didn't wish. And if that's not enough, James then shows us another reason why we need to focus on controlling our tongue. And he says, the tongue has the power to destroy. In verses 5 and 6, it says, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. We know that wars, as Colin has already shared, can be started, friendships can be damaged, marriages can be destroyed, murder can even take place because a little spark from a tongue, a rumor that was spread, cutting remark that was made, a joke that was shared, or even simple words that were just misunderstood. Something that seemed so small at the time that grew into something so big. Excuse me. And in Australia, we don't actually even have to imagine the image that James was portraying here in the idea of a forest fire, because we have seen many times the impact of bushfires on our country. Something as small as a cigarette butt or a stray little spark can cause great damage. Like, as many of us would remember, the Samson flat fires in 2015, one stray spark caused $13 million worth of damage, 49,000 acres, 27 houses, and 140 other buildings were all destroyed. Thankfully, no lives were lost, though. All from something so little. Such a vast amount of damage was caused. Likewise, James says, though, with the tongue, among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. Just as a little spark can cause great damage in the form of a bushfire, our tongues can cause great damage in our lives and in the lives of those around us. How often have our words been used in the heat of the moment, a time of frustration or maybe disappointment, confusion, anger, or lack of understanding to hurt the people that we love? And then let alone hurting others. How we talk to our spouse, our kids, our family, our church members has the power to build them up and strengthen these relationships that we have, but it also has the power to destroy, to burn them down. Because James says, it's for this very reason, for our tongue is set on fire by hell itself. James here is saying that the source of our hurtful words is not the literal fires of hell that we think of when we read this, but rather it is the father of lies who is the source, Satan. He is the one who ignites our fiery tongues by deceiving our hearts. Because it says, what is in our hearts and minds, eventually the tongue speaks. And so if that is not bad enough, hold on, because it's about to get worse. Because James then goes on and he says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. If you've ever been to a circus, you might have seen a ringmaster perform magical acts in one sense. I know as a kid, seeing him perform things with lions, the king of the African plains, one of the most dangerous land animals. Yet the only reason he can perform these acts is because he has spent years training that lion to do what he wants it to do exactly when he wants it to do it. He has control. As humans, we've managed to tame or control almost every animal in the world. But James says this, but no one can tame the tongue, in New Living Translation, but a better translation from the ESV says, but no human can tame the tongue. It is restless and full of deadly poison. In all our generations, no one has managed to completely control the tongue, James says, because it cannot be done by man alone. Which is why we continue to see so many people in the church, outside the church, have their entire lives fall apart because of a few words they've said, or a few words someone else has said. But even though no man can completely control their tongue, there is still hope for us because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross. The Holy Spirit helps us to resist the work of the devil in our lives. So our tongues no longer need to be set on fire by hell, as James says here, but they can now be set on fire for God, which we see a small glimpse of in James's next illustration, where he says, the tongue has the power to delight. In verse 9, he says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. Yes, it is true. Even though all we've seen has been negative examples, our tongues are not only capable of destruction, they are just as capable of delightful things. We can come here, we can share encouragements to one another. We can praise God as we have this morning for his glory. We can affirm someone's gifts as we did with Thomas this morning. We can pray for people. We can lift other people up when they're feeling down. We can build up the church and do many other delightful things with our tongue. But as much as our tongue has the power to delight, that doesn't matter if it's not being consistent. As James goes on in the rest of verse 9, and he says, and sometimes, even though it praises, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. We need to be consistent with our tongues, because the truth is, one delightful word shared actually doesn't cover one destructive word that has been shared. And we know this from our own lives. Everyone here has or has had parents in their life. Whether they're alive now or not, you can probably think back on times in your life where you've had different conversations with them. And sadly, the conversations that we remember most with our parents are those ones where they're critical, discouraging conversations compared to the ones that are the never forget this or the uplifting conversations that they had with us. And the same is even true for us today. Here we are sitting in church right now, singing songs, hearing a sermon preached about the power of our words. Yet many of us, by the end of our day, or even some of us, by the end of the car trip home, will have already been at each other's throats, arguing, screaming, and even letting out destructive words that we later wish that we could have taken back because we didn't really mean them in the moment. And James says that that's right. Surely, my brothers, this is not right. And James would be correct. This isn't the way that Christians are to be using their tongues. But he goes on to reveal that this wrong use of our tongue is the symptom of something deeper. In verse 11 and 12, he says, "Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives and a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." Here, all of these examples are obviously ridiculous that James is sharing, but they're so ridiculous because he's trying to make a point. He shows here that the examples is in these situations are the source. The source is what determines what is produced. The source of the world determines whether it's fresh or salty. The type of tree, as we've seen, an apple tree only produces apples. And the source for humans is the heart. And Jesus said it very clearly in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, where he said, "But the words you speak come from the heart, and that's what defiles you." When our heart isn't right before God, it makes it difficult or even near impossible to control our tongues. But it is Satan that encourages us to harbor envy, harbor anger, deceit, bitterness, lust, greed, jealousy in our heart towards others, because he knows that if he can do that, how much more easily can he control our tongue, and as we've seen, in turn direct our body in directions for destruction. Which is why we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. As James has already said to us in chapter 1, he mentioned these very words. So when we're looking at navigating these negative challenges in our lives in regards to our tongues, and we feel like the odds are stacked against us, what hope do we really have using our small tongues to bring about positive change in the world? Well, James, actually uncommonly being such a practical book, doesn't give us any explicit practical provision steps here in this section. But nevertheless, I believe that there are three key takeaways that can guide us in controlling our tongue. And the first one is remember that even though our tongues are a small part of our body, in comparison to the rest of us, even though they're small, they are incredibly powerful. They're able to take us places that we want to go, but they're also prone to taking us places that we don't want to be. Remember to be quick to listen and slow to speak, so that the power our tongue has can be used to positively direct, delight and build up others. Secondly is surrender. James said that no man has ever been able to tame the tongue. So we should not think that we can do it either. So I encourage you, begin each day with a prayer of surrender, yielding your heart, your tongue and your words to God. Invite him in to fill your heart with love for others, to use your tongue for his good works, and to transform your words into his words. And then thirdly, confess. We all will make mistakes. Well, actually, we all will make many mistakes. But thankfully, Jesus Christ's forgiveness is sufficient for all of them, every single one. But when we make a mistake, are we willing to confess it? When we confess it, we aren't just saying sorry. A sincere confession is an admission that we need to change. There's something in our life that isn't right, and that we are actively seeking God's help for that transformation. If we can do these three things consistently in our lives, we will automatically become quicker to listen and slower to speak. And even though we might do less talking, the talking we will be doing will be more likely to make big positive changes. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of our tongue, Lord. But we recognize the difficulty that we all have with controlling it, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we can lift up praises to you, that we can glorify your name with our tongue. But in the same hand, Lord, we are so prone to spouting negative comments, to in bursts of rage saying things that we just did not mean, Lord. And so I pray that you would help each one of us, even as we walk out from this church today, to help us to remember the power that we have with our tongue. The power to direct, the power that it actually has to destroy, but also the power that it has to delight. And we pray, Lord, as we continue daily to surrender it over to you and surrender our hearts to you, Lord, the source, that your Spirit would be working in us, drawing us closer to you and shaping us more into the image of your Son, so that we can have control of our tongues and become more mature Christians in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.